tonight I want to talk about something that seemed to be disturbing for a few of you 2 weeks ago. And of course, when a Zen teacher disturbs students, that's a very pleasing event. You may remember that 2 weeks ago, I read a teaching from Ezra Beda, and I'll read it again. He writes, "Pursuing your fantasy of enlightenment is often driven by the same greed and ambition that you seek to dispel. Are you still caught in the dream of an enlightened experience that will leave you permanently clear and peaceful?" Several of you came into Doksan right after I read that and said, "Well, yes, I do want enlightenment that'll leave me permanently clear and peaceful. What are we doing here if it's not that?" And that, of course, is a wonderful question. And it's a question that we students of the Zen way have been asking for centuries. You may know there's a famous Zen story of someone new, a young monk who enters the monastery, and he goes to see the teacher, and he says, "Teacher, I'm new here. How long will it take me to become enlightened?" And the teacher answers, 10 years. And the student says, "No, but if I work really hard, how long will it take?" And the teacher says, 20 years. And then the student says, "No, no, you don't understand. I will work so hard. I will be the best Zen student ever. How long will it take?" 30 years. It's one that teachers love to tell because we've all been there. We've all come with that wonderful enthusiasm, that hunger for practice, for awakening. And then there is this paradox that teachers keep teaching, which is that the more you strive to wake up, the more it eludes your grasp. Why is that? Is that just one of the paradoxical things that we say in Zen to frustrate people? And if it's not just that, then why? Why do we keep saying that? And how does it work? One of the best teachings about this is the teaching we read during the sutra service. It's from Shohaku Okumura. He is a Japanese monk and Zen teacher who came to the US and has taught here now most of his career. And he's one of the best interpreters of Eihei Dogen, the great philosopher, one of the greatest philosophers of all time of any discipline, many believe. But he is also one of the hardest people to understand. Dogen's writings take years and lots of study groups. People form Dogen survivor groups, trying to understand what Master Dogen is trying to say to us. And Okumura is one of the clearest in his explanations of what Dogen is trying to convey. So, Okumura writes, "No matter how hard we practice, our motivation for practice is always based, to some extent, on self-centeredness." And how can it not be? I mean, we hear the teaching that We want to let go of the self. We want to be, recognize our connections with everyone and everything. But we always come because we want something. Perhaps it's to be more calm. Perhaps it's to be free of depression. Perhaps it's to be less self-doubting. But nobody comes to this difficult practice because everything is just great in life. And in fact, often teachers will say to students, you know, if you can find something that's easier to do than Zen, go for it. We come to Zen because we've tried other things, and this offers a possibility that we haven't seen elsewhere. And of course, there is a sense of me and mine and what I want out of my Zen practice. But what Okumura tells us is that what we see when we sit down on the cushion and when we settle deeply into practice over perhaps many months or many years is that that self-centeredness, that belief in a me that's separate from all of you and everything else, that that is a delusion. And of course we read about that in the Heart Sutra, another puzzling, deep text. But what Okumura points to is the possibility in our Zazen of really having those boundaries of self fall away and understanding how we are a part of everything. But as he says, we are deluded into a sense of self most of our waking lives. We had to be, you had to think of a self who was going to show up at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time in order to come to this sitting. There has to be a concept of self that is separate, that is different, that helps us function in the world. So this concept of self that we say does not really exist is a useful, even a vital concept for moving through our lives. But what Okumura reminds us of is that in Zazen, in that special state of presence, we let go of our narrow, limited karmic selves. And we become one with the total inner penetrating whole that is absolute reality. And Okumura tells us something that many of us want to resist. He says, we can never see reality as it is. It's impossible because we are part of it. It's like trying to see your own eyeball. You can see your eye, the reflection of your eye in the mirror, but you cannot see your own eye because you are part of the visual process that wants to see. You are part of this ever-changing reality, and so you do not truly stand apart from it and cannot see it. None of us can. Dogen writes about this centuries ago in China in a beautiful way. He says we can only see from our limited perspective what the world looks like. So he talks about the man in the boat in the middle of the ocean. And he says, as far as this man can see, the ocean looks like a circle because all around there's nothing but water. But then Dogen asks us to do the thought experiment of looking at the ocean through a bird in flight. And the bird in flight sees all the wonderful shapes and crevices of land interdigitating with ocean. The ocean isn't a circle. It's something else. And then he asks us to look at it from the perspective of the fish. And the ocean is simply all that there is. There's just water. We can never, ever see reality as it is because we are swimming in it. We are part of it. We are changing every moment as part of it. And so what Okamura wants us to remember is that we are living in delusion all the time, and that it is recognizing this and recognizing that we are part of reality and therefore cannot see it, that that's enlightenment. That it's seeing our delusion that is enlightenment. And so it sounds paradoxical, but it is absolutely the truth. And so he says, in Zazen, it's not the I, the limited karmic self that I call Bob, that awakens to reality. Instead, it's the reality of the universe that's practicing and manifesting reality. There is this awareness that floats through reality that is the me that sits on the cushion. And so, what he reminds us of is that it is simply waking up to our failure to see reality clearly that is awakening, rather than what Ezra Beda cautions us about, which is holding out this fantasy of, oh yes, one day I will become completely enlightened, I will see the world exactly as it is, and that's it, I'm good, I'm all done. All the teachers remind us this is never going to happen. And that is enlightenment. And then Okamura goes on to say, Zazen is doing something here. That it's not a method of correcting the distortions of our minds. It's not. That's impossible. By nature, our awareness distorts. It never sees clearly. But instead, giving up all maps in those moments of clarity when we are just existing in the moment, letting go of all maps of reality, all thoughts about reality, everything we think we know, letting go of all maps and sitting down on the ground of reality, whether that's literally sitting or walking, doing kinhin, or sitting at a stoplight in traffic. He also reminds us that thinking is not the enemy, that thoughts are not the problem. Yes, thoughts do distort reality because no thought can capture just this. No thought can capture the magnificence of a flower or the call of a bird. But it's simply recognizing thoughts as secretions of the mind. The mind is an organ that secretes thoughts, and we let those thoughts come up. And we let them pass away. And sometimes they help us show up for Hank at 7:30 on Monday night. And sometimes they divide us terribly from each other. And sometimes they make us imagine things that we desire that we don't need at all. And so what he says is Zazen is the complete rejection and complete acceptance of all of our thoughts. It's both. It's rejecting our thoughts as the map of reality. That's really how it is. And it's the acceptance of thoughts as the sometimes helpful, sometimes hurtful secretions of this thing we call the mind. So why do we do this? Because what is the point of all this? Is all this sophistry? Is all this some kind of heady academic philosophy? And of course, if that's all it were, none of us would be here, because that's not what we're after. There are plenty of places we can go for intellectual games. What Okamura reminds us of is that seeing the fantasies, seeing my fantasy of complete and absolute enlightenment, seeing my fantasy that I know better, including that I know better than all those people on the other side of whatever divide I'm on right now, that knowing the delusion of making everything too simple, of creating maps that are not nearly as complex or rich as the terrain of absolute reality, that when we understand how limited our views are of the world, it allows us to be more flexible. It doesn't mean we give up our beliefs. It doesn't mean we abandon the precepts and the commitments to be ethical, moral beings. But it means we are less likely to reduce things to their simplest, most diluted forms. We are less likely to reduce other people to our simplest, most diluted images of them. That it broadens our view, and as he says, it allows us to work more in harmony with other people. Because, of course, I spend so much time thinking other people should be different from who they are. Other people should show up in the universe differently than they do. And Okamura reminds us that we are all just this interpenetrating whole, showing up as we are, constantly changing and evolving. And so what he says finally is true reality is beyond any judgment. There is no way that we can judge our practice. You cannot judge if you're doing Zazen well or poorly. You cannot judge if you're a good Zen student or a crummy one. You are simply showing up. There's no way to conceive of being a Buddha or of being enlightened. And yet, without trying to be a Buddha and without trying to become enlightened, in Zazen, we keep settling more and more deeply into this immeasurable reality. And so, even though the teacher says, don't hang on to that delusion, grasping after enlightenment, what we're reminded of is if we just keep sitting, if we just keep looking, if we just keep paying attention, we'll understand how we are all deluded Buddhas. And that is the gift of waking up. Thank you.